Hey, what's up, everybody? Wow, that was completely pathetic. I'm going to try that again. What's up, everybody? Man, we are so glad that you guys are here this morning. We're continuing our series this morning called Appropriate, and it's just funny to me. Shelly is my wife. She plays the keyboard and sings like an angel, right? And it's funny when you realize that you're still the second best preacher in your house, much less, you know. So when Shelly gets going, man, she can preach, but she won't do it. So anyway, this morning we're gonna bring up some folks for the panel, kind of like we did last week. Didn't the panel do a fantastic job last week? Yeah. Hunter Burney made himself a legend. When he started talking about how Adam had a purpose and a job before he got a woman. That's good. So all the dudes in the house, get a job and a purpose before you get a woman, right? I saw a quote this week that reminded me of that. And it said, if a man doesn't work hard with his hands or his mind, he won't work hard for your heart. Oh, man, that's good. So anyway, you guys did a great job. Hunter and Kristen and Daniel and Shelly. And this week, we're going to bring up some fresh faces, some, you know, that you've seen forever and ever, but also some fresh faces as well. So first up, let's go with Brittany Ford. Yeah. Brittany is the much better half of one of the greatest men you'll ever meet and with the most fantastic beard, Keelan. Brittany and Keelan got married this summer and are expecting a little baby.
A boy, yeah.
Go ahead.
Just a little boy. It'll be Keelan Allen Jr., KJ.
KJ, yeah. So this is Brittany, how long have you been coming to Motion? About 2.5, 3 years, 2 years? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like 2 to 3 years or so, okay? Then we have Ryan Powell. We also call him Pastor Powell or Pow Powell. My personal favorite is Wow Pal. Anyway, so Ryan, you've been coming to Motion for about three and a half years, something like that. 3.5 years, many, many moons. Do you have a microphone? Just steal that one. All right, sweet. You want to tell them a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, like Chris said, I've been coming to Motion for about 3.5 years now. Close to 4 years. Been on the volunteer team most of that time, so really like it here.
So this is really cool because this is Ryan and Brittany's first time to come up and speak in front of everybody. So they're a little nervous, but they're going to do a fantastic. I promise you there's so much wisdom sitting right here through life experiences and things that they've learned. Then we've got Kristen Boney, the effervescent, ever positive, always happy, yet always insightful Kristen Boney. Kristen, do you want to come here? Steal my mic and I'll grab a different one.
Hello.
You can tell them a little bit about yourself, if they don't know you.
Well, I'm Kristen. I've been coming to Motion since the beginning. Married to Daniel, 9 years. Work at Good Shepherd. No kids.
Oh, yeah, no kids. Come on, Dan. No, I mean, I didn't mean come on. I mean, come on. Yeah, I'm sorry, but you can come on, too. And last but certainly not least, we call Daniel the smartest man alive, and there is some truth to that. Daniel is one of the most intelligent, insightful people that you will ever meet. And today, he's actually going to moderate, and I'm just going to sit and kind of hang out with you guys. So I'm going to hand this over to Daniel.
Hi, I'm Daniel. Nice to meet you. So we're doing a Q&A sort of thing, obviously. I'll be moderating. I don't know if that is good or bad. We'll find out. If you want, you can text in a question following those instructions at any time this morning. Pretty much everything is fair game. Obviously, this can be an uncomfortable topic, so fasten your seatbelts, put your steel-toe boots on. You may get stepped on, but that's fine. And we'll all make it through. It's only going to be like 30 or 40 minutes, and then we can leave and go feel better about ourselves. So, having said that, I guess we can go and get started, huh?
Do you want to clarify on the text in your question? It's you send the question to, the number you send it to is 22333. And in your question or in your message, you have to include the 3038 to get it to go through. If for some reason, like we haven't answered your question, send it again because last week we were having a problem with them getting log jammed a little bit. So just send it 3 or 4 times. You won't make them mad, I promise.
All right. Let's go. Have we even talked about what we're talking about this morning?
No, you can.
Okay. So our series is called Appropriate, whatever. All about really sexuality and Christianity, essentially relationships, sexuality, all these sorts of things. That's why I said it was uncomfortable. I thought we'd covered that, but now you see where I'm going. So room full of different sorts of people, all stages of life. So we will definitely by no means try to be offensive or crazy or anything like that. But the nature of the subject can get uncomfortable. So fair warning, having said that. So let's just start off, right? Why is porn wrong? It might seem like an obvious question, but there's a lot of answers to that, right? There's no one reason that covers it all. So that's why we're all up here, and we'll try to get it covered. So that's probably going to be a big one. We may spend a few minutes here, but why is porn wrong?
I'll start. I'm not even going to talk about just the sexuality aspect of it. I'm not going to talk about the lust aspect of it. Let's talk. Have you ever thought about what you do and what it contributes to? Right, the things that you do, what you support when you pay for something, or what you support when you are a part of something. And so people that think that you're watching pornography and it's I'm just watching pornography, it doesn't affect anybody else, and you know, regardless of what I spend money on, it's my money, I can do what I want with it. But what you don't think about, if that's the approach that you take, is you don't think about there is a significant percentage of people that are in that industry, the pornography industry, against their will. You've heard of sex slavery, the sex trade. And a lot of people are in the industry, and it's not their choice. They're slaves, literally, to the industry. So as you contribute money and time and resources to that, you're perpetuating sex slavery, children being taken from their families against their will and raped repeatedly, and you're just watching pornography. You're not just watching pornography. You're contributing and perpetuating a cyclical, vicious industry. My two cents.
And I feel like, too, it affects future relationships because it puts the image in your mind of what intimacy should be, and that's not real, you know? So I feel like it affects the relationship that you're in or marriage or even future relationships.
Yeah, and along with kind of what Brittany said, you know, when God created man and woman, he created them separately. He created man and he created woman and gave them specific attributes that help them contribute to the relationship between a man and a woman. And I think the part of the most important part of that relationship is the emotional attraction and the spirituality, that connection. I think watching pornography kind of it moves the sexual part of the relationship up in front of those things that should be the base of the relationship. So it can definitely jade perspective and kind of the order of how a relationship is supposed to happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, it really does paint a distorted view of sex. Like, pornography is an industry. It's a business. And they are, like, it's like tobacco or alcohol. They are looking for customers who are going to become addicts. And it truly is addicting. And there's a lot of research that shows and proves that it truly affects your brain. It's not just like something I'm looking at and I'm okay. It releases endorphins and like this chemical that makes you happy. And the more you watch it, the more you have to watch more of it to get that release in your brain. And so it truly is addictive. And there's just so many reasons why that is wrong.
You know what's crazy? You guys have all heard of GQ, the magazine. It's Gentleman's Quarterly. And so it's kind of known for being a little bit provocative. And they not the church, not Pew Research, not Barna, they released an article, put out an article that said 10 reasons you need to stop watching porn. So if they can figure it out, I think the church should figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I guess bottom line, what we're kind of skirting around ultimately is that it's a sexual sin. And again, sin is one of these words that we don't like to use in the modern church. It's kind of an ugly word, but there are still things considered sin. And as a church whose mission statement is to lead people to live and move and have their being in Jesus Christ, one of the things Jesus Christ talked about was that you don't only have to sleep with someone who's not your spouse to commit adultery, but simply lusting over them. And if porn is not lust, then I don't know what is, right? And I don't say that, you know, out of condemnation or harshness, but truly, if you want to follow Christ and you want to do these things, you want to live this Christ-like life, then he definitely speaks very bluntly about lust and its place in the life of a follower of his.
All right. Can I ask a question? I know you're the moderator, but can I ask you a question, sir moderator?
Yes, Chris, you have my permission.
Okay. All right. So how would you respond to the people that say, oh, well, the body is an art form and porn is art, or, you know, sexuality in that regard is art? What would you say to somebody like that?
I would say, I don't really care. I mean, just because you call it art doesn't make it okay. Like, it's not like art supersedes like Jesus Christ. I mean, art's hard to define. Okay, so maybe by pure definition, maybe it is art. I don't know. I don't know what art's defined as, but I don't really care. Like, Jesus doesn't say, well, as long as it's artful, go for it. Like, you know, like.
Told you, smartest man alive.
Anyone else? Okay, next question. Is it okay to use porn to enhance your marriage?
I feel like if you can't find intimacy in your marriage with the person you marry, then there's a problem. Why bring porn and watch two strangers have sex? You don't need that in your marriage. Have that passion and intimacy with that other person. And if it's not there, then make it.
You know, it's sad that you even have to ask questions like this, because these are questions that are asked. No. Because, I mean, let's just think it completely logically for a second. Guys are visual creatures, monsters, right? So the things that they see can stimulate them. So if on, say, just from the female perspective, if you're married and your husband presents this idea, tell him he's an idiot, right? In love and grace, if that's possible. Because here's the deal. He may be in bed having sex with you, but in his head, he's having sex with somebody else. And that's just wrong, man. It's just not right. You need to find, like Brittany said, other ways to spice things up or enhance your marriage. Go to counseling, because there is something wrong if that's what you think you need to make your marriage successful or work or your sex life better.
And, I mean, in these videos, obviously, I mean, these people are fake. These people are... there to be attractive. It's not there to be intimacy the way that God created intimacy to be. So you're getting fake instructions to satisfy somebody that is fake as well. So, I mean, if you're needing to enhance your marriage, I feel like sitting down, talking to the source, which would be, you know, your spouse, to find out how to enhance your marriage. And even then, I mean, you're your marriage, the sexual realm of your marriage is, I believe, would be a small portion of the marriage. There are so many other emotional and spiritual aspects of your marriage that need to be tackled and that contribute more to the marriage than the sexual aspect, which, I mean, is important and is created by God, but I think that there needs to be the correct balance.
And so, having said all that, say you are having issues, you know, like things just are not right with your sexual life in your marriage. We're not saying that is like, well, that shouldn't be. Like, we're not condemning that, right? We're just saying porn is not the answer. You know, talk it out, go to counseling, do what you got to do. Obviously, that is a very real issue, or this wouldn't be a question. We're not trying to belittle that issue. We're just saying porn is not the answer to that given issue for the given reasons. Next question. Where do you draw the line with what's too risque? That's a very broad question.
I think the idea is, like, we use the term soft porn. Like, you know, certain catalogs or whatever they're put out are very risque. So I think that's kind of the idea.
I was actually on CNN News this morning, and I was just scrolling through the news, and it said 30... mainstream films that are nearly pornographic, but they're like movies that anyone can go see, and it's not necessarily a porn film. And so just because you may not be watching porn doesn't mean like what you're watching on HBO or at the movies or wherever, that doesn't make it right. So it's
and
not like...
that. You said that was CNN?
Yeah, this morning. So, I mean, there's clearly stuff that is wrong that is out there for anyone to view. And it's out there, but you don't have to, like, do it in the privacy of your house or on your phone or whatever for it to be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, here's the deal. If you have to question it, don't do it. Like, if you watch something or see something and you feel this check, like, man, maybe I shouldn't do this. Well, don't do it. Don't do it. Like, just listen to your head, your heart, your spirit. And if you feel like you're not supposed to do something, don't do it. And don't, this is what happens, I think, to us as a culture. I think we've become so desensitized because we've been sexed to death. We've been marketed with sex. And the MO of marketing companies is sex sells. So, I mean, you'll watch a commercial for a lawnmower and you'll see somebody provocatively dressed. I'm like, how are the two related? right? And so I think don't allow yourself to become desensitized. Like, just be sensitive to the fact that, you need to remain as pure as you possibly can. Making a covenant with your eyes.
I'd say if you can't watch it in front of your mom, your wife, your girlfriend, your daughter, you shouldn't be watching it. Essentially, I'm speaking from a guy's point of view there, but you get the point. If it makes you uncomfortable there, then it's probably wrong. Next. Would you recommend entering a relationship while struggling with porn? That's a good question. That's a very good question. And it's going to be a hard answer, I think. But
my answer would be no. I was in a marriage with a man who was addicted to porn. He viewed it anywhere from once to twice a day. And it was a struggle that he had before the marriage, but I thought, oh, we'll get married, it'll get better, because I can meet his needs. But it just got worse. And so I would say no, that's a heart issue that he needs to get right before, because he needs to be right for you. He can't be the man he needs for you, because he can't be the man that God wants him to be now. But I entered into that marriage, it only got worse. You know, it makes him a liar, and then my feelings, I struggled with, why am I not enough? Why can't I fulfill him? And it hurts, you know, as a woman, because you want to be everything that your husband desires, and when you can't, that hurts. And those feelings eventually led to resentment and would make me angry, and then lack of intimacy, and he ultimately had an affair. Now, that doesn't happen in every relationship, but that's just my experience to you. So I would say no.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're struggling with porn, you're not going to be the person, kind of what Brittany was saying, you're not going to be the person that you are. So the person that you're portraying to people is it's a cheap version of yourself, and you definitely sell yourself short. That could affect, you know, who you find attractive and who finds you attractive. It definitely would affect that. So yeah, I would definitely say that's probably not a good idea.
I think it's really important. I won't spend any time on this, but don't go into a relationship thinking you can change the other person. It just doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like
Things
that.
Things don't get better in marriage. Just know that.
Marriage. That's important, because a lot of people have this fairy tale idea of marriage. Like, oh, when we get married, you know, I'll be Cinderella and he'll be Prince Charming, right? And that's just not true. Marriage compounds who you are, because you don't go home to your mom and get, you know, a break from who it is that you're living with. You live with them all the time. And so if they do things that annoy you, if they've got habit, like, you got to address all of this stuff prior to, so that you, when you do get into a marriage, it will be successful. Because if not, I mean, you're not changing somebody. Like, gosh, get that out of your head. They're not changing for you. And if they do, it's probably going to be short-lived. The only way that people genuinely change, and I'm convinced of this, is if God changes their heart. That's the only way they change. And if they won't do it before you get married, probably not going to happen after you get married.
And I'll say this, I've heard so many young men talking about, you know, struggling with porn, because statistically, at least 80% of people struggle with this, is the last stat that I heard.
I think it's important. People are like, oh, you know, well, this is church, this probably isn't irrelevant. If you look at the numbers, people that go to church, if you just did raw statistics, 65-70% of the people in this room would have a struggle with pornography, just based on the numbers, not personal stories, but just merely based on the statistics, that's what you're looking at.
And I get nervous for young men. It could very well be like this with women also, but I've had so many friends who are struggling with porn, and they're dating someone, you know, seriously, and they're like, man, I cannot wait to get married, so this is no longer a struggle. And it just doesn't work like that, unfortunately. I think it's because of what we've already said. Like, you've already set this fantasy world up in your head that just doesn't exist outside of porn. And if you think marriage is going to, like, just satisfy every sexual craving you've ever had, it's just not how it works. And again, that's somewhat awkward to talk about in a room like this, but I'm telling you, if you're one of those guys, it doesn't work like that. Marriage will not fix that for you. It is going to take something other than that. So, next question. What would be the best way to quit porn if it's a problem in your life? Good question.
Talking to people about it. It's the hardest thing that you can do. This is actually something that I struggled with from when I was 10 years old, for 12 years of my life. I'm only 23, so over half of my life. And just in June of this year, I reached out to my brother and his wife and told them about it. And it's something that I've been able to quit, and I'd maybe go a few months or something, but you will fall back into it without accountability. And that is by far the most important thing that you can have, is that accountability. Find some people. The people that love you and care about you, they won't run away. They'll be right there, and they'll listen to you, and they will talk to you about it. So just being open with it, talking about it, and using it for good, you know, telling other people about your story and how you overcame it. So definitely just getting it out there in the open.
I was going to say, you know yourself. You know when it's a struggle, where it's easy for you to have access to that. And sometimes you might need to go to extreme. And I was going to tell Daniel, get out your phone real quick.
Get ready for it. This is the king of technology, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so this is Daniel's phone. It's so... People make fun of him all the time, but like
it looks smart, but it's not.
It's not a smartphone. Anyways, he doesn't have any kind of connection to data on his phone, and so it's not even a temptation. Hey, when I'm alone in the bathroom, I look on my phone or wherever. Maybe you need to go to extreme and turn off the data on your phone. And who cares if people make fun of you? That's what you need to do. Or maybe it is like disconnecting your internet connection at home. You know, places where you're alone or where you know you're going to mess up, just get rid of it in your life.
I think what Ryan said about telling people, it's so true. I heard an idea one time. That sin only has its power when it's in the darkness, but as soon as it's exposed to the light, it loses its grip, it loses its teeth. So sharing that with other people, there's accountability in that. We've got, actually, there's some resources at the back that I know some of the guys have talked about have been extremely helpful. One is called Clean, and it's, I know that this can be a guy and a girl issue, but I think these are specifically for men, is that right? And then, what was the other one? Wild at Heart, also. So there's just some books you can look at, and you can order them if you want. I think, man, just anything that you need to do to get on that right path and get people to help you stay on the right path is huge.
Yeah, and there's so many websites out there, accountability websites, XXXChurch.com, Covenant Eyes, they also have a subscription for accountability. So there are ways to have that accountability. If you don't feel comfortable approaching somebody, there are ways.
I don't even think that's an out, man. I don't, even if you're not comfortable, you need to approach somebody, because at the end of the day, like, it's awesome that you're trying your hardest to be the best that you can be, but you need help. Because you wouldn't have ended up in the situation that you're in where you're trying to quit and you can't if you could do it on your own. So get help. Like, don't be arrogant or prideful enough to not put down that pride and try to do it on your own.
And not to speak for Keelan, but anybody that he knows that's struggling with porn, he always recommends that Clean book. I know it changed. He read it. It changed his whole view and perspective. So that Clean book's a good book to get if you are struggling.
I'm going to second what Kristen said, because I'm a firm believer in this. If you can imagine, a few years ago, literally almost a few years ago, a little more than that, there was no internet, right? And there were no smartphones. I say that to say, if you're struggling with this and like internet and your phone and whatever is your way that you see this, it is possible to exist without a smartphone and without internet access. It's crazy. Think about it, but it can be done. Facebook will go on without you, I promise you. And you will be better for it, but I'm done with that. Anyway, can someone volunteer in church while struggling with porn? Man, these are good questions. Good questions.
Don't look at me.
I mean, I'll answer it. Anyone else? I'm the moderator, though. I got to let you guys talk.
I'll say yes, you can. I mean, everyone has their own thing that they struggle with. It may not be porn for some. For some people, it may be. But we all struggle with something, and we want to invite whoever comes to this church, whether you're a believer or not, hey, join the volunteer team. We want you to be a part of what's going on, and you don't have to be perfect to join. We want you to come as you are and then grow from there. So, yes.
We say all the time, I am absolutely, we believe in small groups. I think they're really important. But to me, the greatest form of discipleship is volunteering at your church. You're around people who are kind of on the same path that you're trying to get on, or going in the same direction you're trying to go. So I think the greatest way to grow, the greatest way to overcome sin in your life, is to get around other people and serve and volunteer. And so I think discipleship happens best in volunteering, my personal opinion. So the answer to the question would be yes.
Yeah, and a lot of times people, you're not the only one. There's someone else in that community that's struggling with the same thing. So that's it's a great community to be a part of.
You know, this is what we like to do in the church, though. We like to ostracize certain sins, but, you know, people that gossip, oh, you can be on the volunteer team. Not our church, but other churches, right? But the Bible has a lot to say about that, too. It says a lot about bitterness and anger and all of the things, jealousy. And so if you've got those, then you couldn't be on the volunteer team if that was the premise for being on the volunteer team. So the point is for us to come together and to get better.
Kind of what Kristen said, one of the biggest misunderstandings I think people, new churchgoers have is that, you know, you have to get right before you can come to church. But that's so far from the truth. Just being in the presence of God and being exposed to His Word and everything, you know, that's, and it ties into being on that volunteer team. You're going to be exposed to a deeper level of involvement with the church, which I think is extremely powerful in overcoming these things that we struggle with.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus himself said he came for the sick, right? Not for the well. I mean, yeah, if you're sick, in, you know, in his language there, come to church. Now, the question says, can you serve or can you volunteer in the church? And the Bible actually does say, you know, in the New Testament, there's some passages about, like, qualifications for a deacon and all these sorts of things. There's different levels of volunteering in a church, right? Like, don't feel like a hypocrite if you're signing up, you know, for the atmosphere team or the usher team or whatever, and, like, you're struggling with porn, like, that's fine, right? Like, you're serving your church. Now, if, like, you're wanting to be the pastor of your church, yeah, you may want to get that under control, right? And that sounds funny, but there's a lot of pastors that deal with it. I mean, bottom line, there's probably 70 people in this room right now. If we excluded people that were dealing with porn, we'd be left with about 14 people to choose from, right? That'd be silly, right? Jesus never did that. Obviously, he called sin, challenged people, move forward, but you can definitely serve your church if you're struggling with porn. I mean, you'd let people, look, this is going to sound judgmental, but we all know it's true. There's probably a ton of people in this room that are incredibly prideful, arrogant, greedy, all these sorts of things. That's not going to disqualify you from serving in your church. Sexual sin, though it looks uglier from the outside in, they're all the same in the sense of, like, what is God thinking about all this, right? Some of them have more severe consequences on relationships, and that's unfortunate. I'm not saying all the consequences are the same, but when it comes down to it, you can't exclude yourself because there is any sin in your life, right? If there's no sin in your life, then you'd be like the second coming of the Christ, and that'd be crazy, so... and you're not. So yes, please join the church and volunteer.
I think that's all really, really important. But again, the point is to hopefully, if you do and as you do, you grow and you try to get out. Don't just stay where you're at. God loves you so much where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are, right?
Next. How does sex before marriage affect the relationship in the future when married? Good question.
I'll take it. I think it's important. Everything that's worth having is worth waiting for. And so I think that there are a couple of things that can happen. I think for one, you tend to take things for granted. You're not willing to be patient. You're not willing to work for things. And if you don't know this about relationships, then let me just inform you that relationships are work. And if you're not willing to work for it, then it's probably not going to be successful. And so I think working for it, part of that would be waiting until you get married to have sex. And I think it's really, really important that you prove that you're willing to work for it. You're willing to be patient. You're willing to endure some of the temptations that come along with being engaged and not having sex. Because can we just be honest? That is tough. Anybody ever been engaged? And okay, just curious. I don't know. So I think... That's one component or aspect of it. And I think there's just this is what happens. So many people do this. I've seen this happen no less than 20 times. Oh, we're going to get married, so we're going to sleep together. Oh, we're not going to get married. I've seen it happen. I mean, and everybody thinks they're the exception to the rule. You're just not. And if you're going to get married, then wait till you get married.
And Pastor Chris has said this in previous sermons before, but there's just so many statistics that are out there, not even from Christian people, but having sex before married or moving in together, those people are more likely to end up separated and divorced. And so I'm not exactly sure why it is, but that's just the truth.
That's a really good question, by the way. I think there's... That's something we could probably stew over for a little while and try to come back and answer. But that's my short answer. And the statistics are really clear for whatever reason, cohabitation and sleeping together before you get married. If you do, the percentages significantly go down as far as success rate is concerned in marriage. So, and I don't know all of the reasons either behind why, the psychology behind why, but they are what they are.
How do you move forward if your partner's father disapproves of you and the relationship, of your relationship, you and relationship?
Daniel, answer this question for us.
Poor Daniel. My dad hated Daniel. Told him, Daniel said he like drove a couple hours to go ask if he could marry me. And my dad's like, nope, and went right back to work.
But hang on, I want to speak for Daniel on this one. I've actually used this a few times. Now, always be respectful of people's parents, especially if you're going to get married, because you're going to be married to them too. But Daniel said something that was so powerful and profound and true and kind of disarming. He's like, as respectful, I think, as he probably could, and Daniel's very respectful. He's like, I didn't come to ask for your permission. I came to ask for your blessing. Ooh, just let that resonate. Come on, think about that. Go ahead.
Actually, in hindsight, maybe through just growing up or whatever, I somewhat feel bad about that sometimes. Not like I regret us getting married, but I sometimes think about, and I'm going to balance this, but if I were a father and that happened to me, I would feel pretty angry. So I don't know if that was the right thing to do. I'm not necessarily saying that, because there's a lot of wisdom that fathers have, for sure. I think they all pointed at me because I had an experience with this one, for sure. I got to be careful here.
Hey, stop recording. Stop recording.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Can you just... is it on video? Dang it. I see both sides. I'll just say that. I see both sides. Like, I don't mean this arrogantly. I don't mean it pridefully. I promise you I don't. But I was not what he thought I was. I will say that. And I was who he thought I was not, this sort of thing. And I knew that. I'd talked to... She's got two other sisters. I talked to their husbands. They dealt with the same thing. I knew what I was getting into. She knew this was going to happen. On the other hand, I do think it matters, because that presented its set of challenges, for sure. For about a year after that, that was not fun, you know, and we were kind of on our own. You know, her mom had to side with her dad and these sorts of things, regardless of how she felt, because that's her husband. And I definitely, you know, told him, you know, I respect what you're saying in a sense, but we're moving forward and we'd love to have you with us. And maybe that was right or wrong, I don't know, but I'm definitely not saying do that regardless, and I'm not saying listen to them regardless. I don't know. That one's tricky to me.
Yeah, I think it's important. Why is he disapproving? Is he disapproving just because he's a disapproving person, or is there a reason that he's disapproving of you and the relationship? So if you weigh all of that out honestly, if there's a reason for him to be disapproving, then you need to work on that, and maybe then you can readdress the relationship. But if he's just, I think if he's being stubborn and ornery and kind of like I probably will when my daughter gets ready to be in a relationship, no, I don't like you. There's nothing about you that I like, and I never will like you. So,
I think the main reason why we moved forward, or we felt more peace about moving forward, was because we were surrounded in a church where we had godly couples that we looked up to and kind of mentoring us. And they were, like, approving of it. And so in our way, that was kind of our blessing from them. So if people around you are approving of it that are, you know, godly counsel, it is tough, though, because for, like, a year or so, it was really hard. Like, my mom wasn't there when I bought my wedding dress. Just stuff like that. It's really hard. If you want, you can talk to us after church.
I would say bottom line, consider it. Hear him out. It's not, don't be stubborn in your youth, for sure. Don't be like, well, you know. Forget him, like, whatever, I'm moving forward because I'm a man, you know, like, he's also a man. He's more of a man than you in a lot of ways, you know, he's seen a lot more life than you have. Even if he's wrong, he's probably got reasons why he feels that way. I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to say something along the lines of, like, okay, I hear you, we are getting married at some point, but we'll wait, let's talk about this, maybe we can find some middle ground here, something along these lines, I don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah, nothing really bad happens from being patient, so. Yeah.
What sort of entertainment is appropriate? That's a good one.
If you can watch it with your kids, it's appropriate. If you can watch it with your children and not be like, oh my God, my kids just saw, then I think it's appropriate.
Board games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really the short answer is not much these days. I mean, and we know that. I mean, it's unfortunate, and you sound like a prude if you say that, but I don't watch much TV, and there's just not much to watch if you're trying to keep things clean. But
I think the entertainment industry does a really good job of duping us. Wow. That statistic that she brought up about mainstream movies that would basically qualify as pornography. And so, like, we have movies that come out, and it's not just guys. It's girls also. Like, movies like Magic Mike come out. And everybody, I mean, women flock to the theater to watch this. And what is the premise of the movie? Or 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, let's just talk about a few specifically, right? You flock to the theater to watch pornography. That's essentially what it is. Now, it may be soft porn technically, right? Or it's art. Or come on, cut the crap. You know what it is. And you know what the underlying tones are. You know it's all about, you know, lust and perversion and sexuality and all of those things. And it's not okay. And it's so funny. I saw a post from a guy who was not a Christian. As soon as 50 Shades of Grey came out, he's like, I've never seen more Christian women t-shirts in my life than when I went to watch 50 Shades of Grey. And I was like, how embarrassing is that for us as the church? A guy who's not even a Christian points out the kind of the discrepancy, the fact that there's a ton of Christian women in the theater, flocking to the theater with all their girlfriends to watch this movie, and the whole premise is sex, 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 sex. Not even like the right, sex is awesome in the right context, but not in the right context.
1 Timothy, it says, set an example for the believers in life and love and speech. And it always catches my attention because it says for the believers. And so I think if you are a Christian and you are trying to do the right thing, man, there's a lot of things that we just don't do that other people do. And it is completely normal and common and accepted. But like as a Christ follower, we don't do that. And I wanted to say, Pastor Chris and Chelly, what do y'all only watch PG?
We only watch PG with a couple, like, very few exceptions. One, The Passion of the Christ, right? You're not even saved if you don't. And that's rated R. We live on the edge. Yeah. And so we've watched maybe 3 PG-13 movies in the last 10 years. And that's not, we're not trying to be awesome. Like, oh, look at us, we're legalistic. That's not it at all. And the PG-13 movies that we watch, there are tools that you can use. IMDb has a parent's guide. There's another one called Plugged In Online. It also has a parent's guide. It has every positive, negative, spiritual, alcohol, drug, sex, language, everything in there that you could possibly need to know about that movie is in the guide. So if there's a movie that, matter of fact, here's an example of a movie. We went and watched Jurassic World because there was zero sexuality involved. It's a movie that if Tavian wouldn't have been terrified of dinosaurs, that we would have taken our children to. He would have stayed up for 3 days straight looking out his window for T-Rex. I'm not kidding. So I think that's just a great filter. Could I go and watch this with my children and feel good as a parent? Because some parents let their like I was exposed. I think the average age that people are exposed to pornography is 11. And I think a lot of that's because their parents aren't right thinking. Yeah, thank you. Filling in the gaps. I had some other bad things to say. I'm going to stop.
Is it okay to go to places like Hooters? Given by the laughs, I'm suspecting most of us feel no. But I do think.
But their wings are really good.
Really?
So I hear. These are the excuses that guys will use to justify going to stupid. Let me ask you a question. Guys, let me talk to you for a second. If it's okay for you to go to Hooters, is it okay for your wife to go to a place, let's just say it was called Hot Dogs? And guys with six packs walked around in very skimpy bikinis. Would you feel comfortable with your wife going to that place? The whole premise of the place, I mean, think about the name. There's no owls in the place. That's not what it's about. And we try to mask stuff, man. We try to like convince ourselves that things are okay, and it's not. Like, stop being the best lawyer in the world. Stop being so like legalistic and finding ways to justify things. Y'all get me fired up, man.
What is appropriate to look at on social media?
I feel like it's hard, especially on Facebook, to not scroll through your news feed and see inappropriate pictures or links, for that matter, to inappropriate sites, because the world exploits men and women today, and we just accept it. Like, use your common sense. If you have a friend, if you're a dude and you have a chick who always posts risque photos, take the temptation away for yourself and your partner, future partner, and unfriend from them. I mean.
Yeah, Facebook's got this awesome little tool, and if you hover over the post in the top right corner, you can hit hide, and it will disappear, and you won't see posts from that person anymore. So they make it pretty easy, so not a lot of excuses there.
Oh, hey, I want to back up to that one real quick. If I think kind of coming back to one of the things that we've said before, if it's a problem, delete it. I've got a friend, I haven't gotten his approval to say this, but he deleted, just because he didn't want to see any of that crap, the stuff that pops up, he deleted his Facebook, deleted his Instagram, just because he didn't want to see it, and hasn't been on either for 6 months, and he's still alive. Believe it. So if you need to delete it, delete it.
Okay, kind of the opposite. What's appropriate to post on social media or FB?
It depends if you have abs or not. Just kidding. Hey, dudes, no duck face selfie mirror shirtless pics. No. Just no. Just no.
I got one on that. I'm not on social media. I'm just thinking of this generally. This is kind of a side topic that me and Kristen have always felt weird. Not weird. I don't know why I just said weird. Passionate about. Same thing. I'm thinking of swimwear specifically. Like, if you're a Christian woman, don't put pictures of yourself in a bikini.
Seriously.
Online. Seriously. I don't know if it happens. I suspect it would. I'd be shocked if it didn't.
And they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I know that, but just stop. Just.
Yeah, I think that's because everybody, they try to act all innocent. They're like, oh, what? It's just pictures of me and my friends in our bikinis. Really?
Is your motivation for that post to get likes? So, I mean, what do the likes really matter? You know, so what are the motive, and what would happen if you were to not post that picture? You know, nothing, you're not going to be affected. You're not going to affect somebody else negatively. So if there's a question and you can answer, well, you know, if I don't post this, then what's going to happen? And more than likely the answer to that's going to be nothing, which is a lot better than causing somebody else to stumble, because like we said earlier, a lot of people struggle with this, so it's just better just to leave it alone.
Guys and girls, because guys will do this. Guys will post stuff too that is provocative towards women, so it's not just the other way around.
And aside from motivation, somebody who deals with lust is going to see that picture. That's just going to happen. So whether you think it's right or wrong, that's
okay.
What's going to happen.
All right, I got something to say, because this is a topic that seems to come up over and over in blogs. The defense for that I've seen that some women have posted, well, it's not my job to control what men do with their eyes.
That's true. Go ahead.
Kristen, what would you say to that as a woman?
Yes, I've heard that a lot. And the thing is, like, guys, they're not monsters if they're dealing with lust or porn. Like, they're just normal. And so it's not just, oh, that's their own thing. It's like our job as women to help them as much as we can. And for that means, hey, not wearing a bikini or not being dressed inappropriately. Because as like a Christian, godly woman, my purpose is to like dress modestly so that I will not hinder like another guy. Like I heard it said this way one time. Okay, maybe girls can understand it this way. We try to work out, eat less carbs, eat less chocolate because, you know, we want to be fit and healthy and all that stuff. Well, if someone walked around with a piece of chocolate cake following me every day of the week, I would eventually eat the chocolate cake. There's no doubt about it. And so guys already have enough struggle and images everywhere, through the mall, everywhere, scrolling on Facebook. And so when we do that, it's like we're just like a little piece of chocolate cake here, you know. It's just one more image for them to see. And so we as women, it is part of our responsibility to help them out by doing what we can, by being dressed modest and appropriately.
And Jesus had a very kind teaching on this very topic, I believe, when, what does it matter what I'm doing, if it's causing them to stumble? But I believe he said something along the lines of, whoever causes one of these ones of mine, little ones of mine, to stumble or sin or whatever, would be better off to have a heavy weight tied around their neck and thrown into a lake. Is that what he said, something like that?
That's the gist of it, yeah.
So you can say, what business is it of yours, what somebody else does by looking at you? And I would say that's fine, but Jesus would say something other than that. And he he's pretty much saying you'd be better off to be drowned, which is pretty harsh, which I would think means he feels pretty strongly about that. Now, if you don't care what Jesus says, then that's irrelevant and you continue on. But seeing as we're at church, I suspect that's what we're going off of.
Yeah, that's really good. I think kind of the idea is just, man, it matters. It does matter. And it's not that it's solely responsibility. It's not solely your responsibility to make sure that men have, you know, appropriate eyes. It's a dance. It's their responsibility and your responsibility. Help them as they help you. I mean, it's like that's the whole idea of Christianity and the church is we help each other. We encourage each other. We build each other up. We don't tear each other down. And that's kind of the idea.
I'll say one more thing with that. On the other hand, we do fortunately have muscles attached to our eyeballs and our head sits on a muscle in our neck. And that if something comes before you, you can, what we used to call bounce your eyes. Like, you don't have to look at it. And I get that that's a struggle, trust me. But you can just activate the muscle in your eyeball and, like, go from here to here, or the one in your neck and turn from here to here and walk on, you know. And I get that it's not that easy all the time, but it in certain scenarios it can be for sure. So learn to bounce your eyes can help also. So.
And I'm thinking, I mean, girls, you know what you're doing. And think about the people you're attracting. You don't want those people. You know, respect yourself. It's just, it's easier to talk to the girls than the guys, you know, as far as posting inappropriate pictures.
That's true. We talk about, you know, people say all the time, men are pigs. We'll stop feeding them slop and they won't come around.
Thank you.
It is 12 after 12, Pastor.
One more question. Can we ask one more question? One more question. All right, we're going to do it. We love you guys.
Is this the one we want to go with? This is up to you guys.
Is that the best you got? Come on, man. Give us something better than that. Actually, Daniel, you like this one, don't you?
I think all that stuff's dumb, but I don't
know.
I mean, okay, Snapchat. I don't know anything about it. I've never used it. Well, I know something about it, but I've never used it. If you need your picture to disappear really quickly, I can't imagine any good reason for that. Again, I've never used it. I could be wrong, but if you just can't have someone see it in 10 seconds or however long it lasts, it's probably pretty shady.
I've heard the argument to that, just playing devil's advocate here, that, you know, guys have only guys on their Snapchat and they're sending stuff, and girls have only their girlfriends on their Snapchat and they're Snapchatting. And I mean, that could be debatable whether that's okay or not. And in that instance, I still think that a text message, you can send pictures over text message. If it's something like Daniel said, if you want to disappear, then maybe you shouldn't be sending it anyways.
Nothing ever disappears. It's called a screenshot, so if you're sending stuff that you shouldn't be sending, it's out there, just so you know.
But and back to that, like if you are a guy and you're only Snapchatting your guy friends, why even have that window of opportunity there to fall into that temptation? I mean, you're not completely protecting yourself and your heart from falling into these temptations that are out there and prevalent in apps such as these. So I just think you're better off just to eliminate that window of opportunity altogether.
I don't have Snapchat, and I've never used it like Daniel. But if you use it and it's completely appropriate, you do the right things, then by all means. I think it's just always be careful. There are so many apps and so many ways, so many avenues to get mixed up in stuff that you don't need to get mixed up in. So, you know, just, man, be smart about it.
We done or are we continuing on?
No, that's probably good.
All right, well then, you're up.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, I mean, I've been here, I've been through this. It took up over half of my life, and it's something that I would love to talk to people individually about. If there's anybody that needs somebody to talk to, in all honesty, there's an email address on the.
You could send it to, if you just want to get Ryan's contact information, just send it to info@motionchurch.com, and we'll set that up.
I would absolutely love to talk with anybody about it.
Really good. I know that this is a tough topic. I know it's something that's prevalent in our society. And sometimes it's something that's not easy just to talk about. But we have to talk about it. Kind of like we mentioned in the first week, the story that Daniel told. If we can't talk about it here, then where can we talk about it? And I think that we need, as the church and as people who are trying to follow Jesus, like, it's okay to address this kind of stuff, because if we leave it in the darkness, it has power. If we bring it to the light, it loses its power. So let me pray for us, and then we'll get out of here. Father, we love you. God, we thank you so much for this day. God, thank you for the truth of your word. God, the wisdom that comes from that. God, to help us to live and move and have our being in you. God, that we don't base our lives on what the world does. We don't base our lives on the standards. We base our life on your standard and who you are and what it is that you want us to do. So God, I pray that as we leave this place, God, that these aren't just words that we've heard, but these are things that we'll do, things that we'll implement into our lives so that we can better honor you and be more like you in the world that we live in. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.